Should the Carolina Panthers look to trade for a number one wide receiver? I'll tell you right here on Locked On Panthers.
You are Locked On Panthers, your daily Carolina Panthers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Julian Council, talking Carolina Panthers with you every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Your team every day. That's our motto here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And be sure to follow me, Julian Council, on Twitter, at Julian Council, where today I'm back once again to answer your weekly Friday mailbag questions, either at me or DM me to participate in next week's edition of the weekly Friday mailbag right here on Locked On Panthers. On Tuesday, OTAs, the third phase of OTAs, real OTAs, will start here in Carolina as Bryce Young, the Panthers quarterback, will be starting off as QB2. But also going to get some reps with the ones over the next couple of weeks leading into mandatory minicamp, that little break, and then back for training camp ahead of the 2023 season. So one final mailbag until we get to OTAs next week here in Charlotte. And we'll start off the show with Nick, who asked, do you think Thomas Brown, the Panthers' new OC, turned down other head coach positions in order to take an Eric Bieniemy type role under Frank Reich so he could take this team over after a few years of established play from Bryce Young, Brian Burns, Jeremy Chin, and Ikem Ekwonu? Nick goes on to say, it seems odd that he had opportunity to be head coach and other money. I'm not sure why you wouldn't take that opportunity. Then Josh McCown, Deuce Staley move up the depth chart of coaching and the additions of Capers and Caldwell along with Reich give an excellent training ground on how to be a head coach. Obviously, Jero Averro will be gone after a year or two, but it seems like the organization is trying to groom a guy like Brown to be the next in line. A lot there. And a lot that I disagree with. Well, just looking at the facts, Thomas Brown did not get an opportunity to be a head coach anywhere else in the NFL. No one offered them the head coaching job. No one offered him their head coaching job. He interviewed with the Houston Texans. It was reported from the very beginning that the Texans had two candidates that they were interested in. Jonathan Gannon, the former Eagles defensive coordinator, who's now the Arizona head Cardinals head coach, and then D'Amico Ryans, the former Texans player, who was San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator last season. Those were the two guys for the Houston Texans. No one else was really up for that job, truly having a chance to be the head coach in Houston. If anything, Thomas Brown was down there to get the experience of interviewing for the job, but also to check the box that needs to be checked for an external candidate for the Rooney Rule. So he was never really that big of a candidate there in Houston, and no other team asked him to interview. That's the only place he interviewed. The Panthers interviewed him for the OC job. The Chargers interviewed him for the OC job. The Bucks interviewed him. The Commanders interviewed him. That's four offensive coordinator interviews to one interview for a head coaching job, and that one was in Houston. So he did not turn down the opportunity to be the head coach in Houston because he was never offered the job and never was going to be offered the job. I don't look at this as a situation like in Kansas City with Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, because you talk about, is he coming here to learn from Reich, then take over? Well, Eric Bieniemy hasn't taken over in Kansas City. He's now the OC in Washington under Ron Rivera, getting to call the plays. There's not going to be any people out there who can say, oh, well, you know, it's actually Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. It's Eric Bieniemy working with Sam Howell to where he can prove to the league, which I don't feel like he should have to, that he is indeed a smart play caller and can lead an offense and eventually could be a head coach. I don't look at that as a similar scenario here in Carolina. And the only way it's similar is that Reich is going to call the plays and Brown is going to be there on the sidelines helping coordinate the offense while not being the primary play caller. Frank Reich has already gone on and said, eventually, Thomas Brown will be calling the plays. In Kansas City, Andy Reid's calling the plays. But Bieniemy has been a large part of the development of the playbook and the game plan. We already know that Thomas Brown has spent a ton of time developing this playbook. And he said the other day that it's 60% Reich, 40% him. Eventually, it will be his offense. And of course, it's always going to have the principles that Frank Reich believes in within that structure of the offense. But in due time, Thomas Brown will get to call the plays. Will he be the head coach here in Carolina down the road? I don't know. Frank Reich's only 61 years old, y'all. Andy Reid, 65. He looks every bit of it. Frank Reich doesn't really look all that old at 61. It seems like he's a guy who looks a little bit younger. Frank Reich's at 61. I don't see him handing over the head coaching duties in the next 4 or 5 years. Andy Reid probably doesn't have much longer. Bill Belichick, 71. He's still out there coaching. Pete Carroll, 71. He's still out there coaching. We could look at Frank Reich coaching for another decade here in Carolina if everything goes according to plan. So I do not look at Thomas Brown as someone who's going to sit here and wait for 10 years, then to take over, even wait 5 or 6 years. Jordan Rodriguez, when we talked to her, she says Thomas Brown is going to be a head coach eventually in the NFL. Is it going to take 5 years' time, 6 years' time, a decade? I don't know. But the Panthers have success, especially if he starts calling plays and Bryce Young looks like the number one pick and is able to turn around his franchise. Thomas Brown is going to get an opportunity to be someone's head coach here in the NFL and not have to wait around here in Carolina. So I do appreciate the idea that you have there, but the facts are wrong. He was never offered a job. He did not turn down a job because you cannot turn down a job that's never offered to you. And his real options were being an OC. Again, interviewed here in Carolina, got the job, interviewed with the Chargers, the Bucks, the Commanders. He was going to be an OC this past hiring cycle, not a head coach. And Frank Reich, still a little bit too young for me to look at already who's his successor going to be. Like, he hasn't even coached a game, and we're talking about, hey, who's going to take over Frank Reich? Let's allow him to be successful first, because he's got to win games to even have the scenario where someone on the staff can be groomed to be the head coach. If anything, maybe Parks Frazier, who's a lot younger, he's the guy who, if Brown takes over one day, leaves to go take a head coaching job, that likely ends up being the OC, and he's someone that down the road can end up being the head coach. I would see that more than Thomas Brown, who is probably going to get opportunities over the next couple seasons, again, if everything goes according to plan. Now, Alex has a question. He says, we've seen some high-profile wide receivers, Devontae Adams and Nuke Hopkins, to name a few, pop up in trade rumors this offseason. If one of these elite wide receivers were to become available, would it be worth paying a steep price, draft compensation, big cap hit, to pair with a rookie Bryce Young? Short term, it would obviously help, but would that be a wise decision long term? The situation I'm looking at is T. Higgins and Cincinnati. The Bengals, historically, a cheap franchise. They're going to have to pay Joe Burrow. They're also probably going to end up paying Ja'Marr Chase, because Ja'Marr Chase is one of like five receivers in the league where you pay him. The amount of wide receivers that come out of college year in and year out, unless you have a Ja'Marr Chase or a Justin Jefferson or a Stephon Diggs, a Devontae Adams, a Nuke Hopkins in his prime, you're not paying guys. Like DJ Moore, he got paid. It's not like he got paid like top of the line money. He got $20 million a year, which is pretty good, obviously, especially at the wide receiver position. But yeah, you pay DJ Moore if you have no other wide receivers on your roster, which the Panthers didn't have. And it was a no-brainer for Carolina to have him on the roster. But also, you saw the Panthers were willing to part ways with DJ Moore and keep Brian Burns and Derek Brown, because they understand that while DJ Moore's a good player, he's not an elite player. So unless you have an elite player, you don't really need to pay them all that kind of money. Now, T. Higgins is not an elite player. He's a very good player like DJ Moore, and he's someone who I believe could be expendable up in Cincinnati, where you have Joe Burrow, you of course have Ja'Marr Chase, who they should invest in, and you got some other contracts that they couldn't keep. Von Bell couldn't keep Jesse Bates. Like, they got to make decisions, and I don't know if there's gonna be enough money to go around to make T. Higgins, Joe Burrow, and Ja'Marr Chase happy. Like, Burrow's going to get his money. Are Chase and T. Higgins both going to get their money? I think Chase should and will. I don't know about T. Higgins. And if T. Higgins is available, like we saw things play out the last couple years with the guy like A.J. Brown not getting paid in Tennessee, which, boy, what the hell were they thinking going to Philadelphia? If Higgins is available, he's someone who can be a number one. He's not an elite player, but he's a damn good wide receiver and much better than all the guys that are currently on the roster right now here in Carolina. So if that kind of deal is available for a younger player who's going into their first contract, I'm good with that. Like Devontae Adams, I don't see that being a possibility. Nuke Hopkins, it sounds like he's staying in Arizona, and he's also an aging player. Like, if you can get someone who's young in their prime, like an A.J. Brown, then yeah, you do that trade for sure. Because Carolina don't have a first-round pick next year. they're going to have to be in free agency anyways, trying to bring in one of those players. And maybe Cincinnati holds on for Higgins to Higgins for another year. Maybe it's next season during free agency where the Panthers can maybe do like a sign and trade kind of deal and bring him in if that's a possibility. But right now, if it's available, why not? Throw somebody else in there. Throw some picks in there. They don't have a ton of them, but they don't have a pick next year in the first round to go get Marvin Harrison Jr. And I don't think they're going to be able to trade up into the first round and be able to get one of those wide receivers. It's good they kept the 2025 pick, but do you want to trade that away then to move up? I don't know. It's not like they have a ton of compensation, but if there's someone like a Higgins who's young and can be a very good wide receiver, then I go for it. But especially if an elite guy is available, then yeah, absolutely. Because there's only like five of those in the league, and they're typically not available. Like, hey, Ja'Marr Chase, if he becomes available, which would be insane, yeah, make that trade right now. All right, let's take a quick pause here on the show, and I'll come back, and we'll talk about more of your questions here on the weekly Friday mailbag on Locked On Panthers. Are you looking for a delicious snack but don't want all the sugar and calories and you need the best tasting protein bar ever built? If you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices but you don't want to compromise on taste, I've got just the thing for you, Built Bars and Built Puffs. Built Bars are healthy and taste amazing. Seriously, they taste so amazing you won't think that they're good for you. So what makes Built Bars so good, you ask? Well, for starters, they are all covered in 100% real dark chocolate. That's right, real dark chocolate on every single bar and puff. And I'm not sure how they do it, but Built makes the best bars. They taste just like a candy bar, maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy for you. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar, but a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box for years. We've been right here on the show telling you about how you can order your Built Bars at Built.com, which you can still do to eat their specialty flavors, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box of their hit flavors, Brownie Batter Puff and Churro Puff. You can thank me later. All right, back into the weekly Friday mailbag on Locked On Panthers. Either at me or DM me on Twitter at Julian Council to get questions in next week. Another wide receiver question here comes from Dan. He says Josh Klein from the Wright Report, who we had on Tuesday to break down rookie minicamp. He mentioned Jonathan Mingo's effort in college or sloppiness in routes running towards the end of games in college. Are you worried about that or think that will be an issue? I am thinking of Kiffin's offense and how many plays can occur in a game compared to the NFL. Hence the rule changes that are happening at the NCAA level. Josh went on to talk him up afterwards, but that was one knock he had on him. What that sounds like to me is conditioning. Jonathan Mingo is going to have to be in better condition so that towards the end of games, the Panthers can rely on him and that you don't see the sloppiness in his route running towards the end of games, and that he's able to go out there and make plays. Like, that clearly to me is not the offensive system. That is a player who did not take good enough care of his body back in college and was not in shape towards the end of games. And also, that is a failure on Ole Miss's strength and conditioning staff not having Jonathan Mingo ready to go during the fall for every game in healthy and you know, all that. And he missed a ton of time in college. So I don't really know how that's possible. A player who didn't get like a ton of usage over the course of three seasons could possibly be tired at the end of football games. With the Panthers, I'm sure they're going to have a nutrition plan for him, just like they're going to have one for Bryce Young and all the rookies that are coming in here, and that they'll get him right and ready. But unlike college, there aren't really the kind of conditioning workouts you got to go to. You have OTAs and all that kind of stuff, but you're a professional now. The NFL teams are expecting you to be in shape when you show up to training camp. There'll be a conditioning test, but after that, it's like, all right, let's go get to work. Let's go figure out how we can put together this offense and defense and find out who is the top of our depth chart and what positions are going to be won. Like, that is the focus in training camp. It used to be back in the day when they had like two-a-days that day, you were getting in shape in training camp. That's not the case anymore. So Jonathan Mingo is going to have to be a professional, going to have to be an adult, and get in shape and work out throughout the summer when he's away from the team and be ready to go. So I don't know if that's really something I'm all that concerned about. It just comes down to maturity and take care of your body and, you know, being a professional, which I'm sure he will do. So not overly concerned at all, really, about that. But I think the explanation is he just wasn't in shape. So get in shape. Harvey has two questions. First one, what are my thoughts on the tight end position / room? And do you see it being productive this year? Well, it can't be worse production-wise than it was the last couple of seasons under Matt Rhule, with Ian Thomas and Tommy Trimble and then Dan Arnold for like, what, three games being the only options there at tight end, it's got to be better. It cannot be league worse like it has been. When you bring in Hayden Hurst, who's a proven player, who's been a really good player, whether he's been in Atlanta or in Baltimore, especially last year in Cincinnati, you've already improved in that manner. When you listen to Thomas Brown, we talked about the other day during our coordinator offseason report, when he was talking about just the use of 12 and 13 personnel, we're going to have two tight ends and three tight ends on the field in the roles that they can play. That first tight end role, that clearly is what Hayden Hurst can be. Now, what can you get out of your second and third tight ends, your F tight ends? Can you get more out of them than we've gotten the last couple of years? And I think in this offense, they will want to utilize the tight end, hence why they brought in Hayden Hurst. And they had to get somebody, but they will use Hayden Hurst. We've seen that Ian Thomas can, you know, do some things, not a ton of things, but maybe now getting an opportunity in a system that fits the tight end, we can see the Ian Thomas that we saw in his first 2 years in Carolina when he had to fill in for an injured Greg Olsen who had all those foot injuries. So possibly it's just been the system and not Ian Thomas. And maybe that's why the Panthers have kept him around the last two off seasons when plenty of people have thought that, you can move on from this guy. Maybe he can actually emerge in this offense as an F tight end. Tommy Trimble certainly is a great blocker and has the traits to be someone who down the road maybe can turn into a serviceable pass catching tight end. Is he ever going to be Hayden Hurst? I don't see that being the case. Hayden Hurst was doing that back in college, and it's a very difficult transition from the NFL to from the college to the NFL at the tight end position to think all of a sudden that a guy who wasn't a focal point in a pass catcher in college is then going to turn into that kind of guy. Like Stephon Sullivan is making a transition from being a college wide receiver to being a tight end at the NFL level, where he has receiving skills, he has athleticism. Can he do all the other little things that are required at the position? And he's someone that I find interesting and intriguing here moving forward because he does have the skill set. We've seen Gio Ricci, who also has shown some things, played fullback the last couple of years, but maybe one of your better pass catching tight ends from the last couple of seasons, considering that there haven't really been great options. Anyways, I actually feel good about the room. I think Hayden Hurst is a top-end guy. You got to feel really good about him. And you have some other players who have potential to actually contribute. The important thing, though, is that you at least have Hurst. You got enough wide receivers that are options. You got Miles Sanders as well. So it's not like you need a ton out of anyone outside of Hayden Hurst. But I do think the potential is there this season that they can get way more out of tight end position. And primarily, it's that they have options, even though a lot of them are really, it's the same option except for Hayden Hurst, but it's really that they have the want to incorporate the tight end into the passing game and the offense this upcoming season. His second question, he asks, who are some of the players on the bubble and some that you feel that will not make the team? Not ready to say who will not make the team right now because we have way too much time in between now and the roster cuts, but guys who are clearly on the bubble, we were just talking about wide receivers, Jonathan Mingo. I'm not saying he's not going to be on the team. He'll be on the team. They didn't drop in the second round to cut him, but because he's here, that's going to push someone out. And I feel like Shai Smith was already getting pushed out anyways when they signed Amir Burr, but he's someone who would probably be on the wrong side of the bubble and likely to be cut. We'll see how it works out down in the end. So Shai Smith, I mean, the tight ends, it depends on how many they want to keep. Do they want to have four? If they have four, it's either Gio Ricci or Stephon Sullivan. Which one makes the team? So those guys will both be on the roster bubble as they're going to be competing. Michael Jordan, I have talked about the offensive line. You have your top five guys. You got Cam Irving back as your swing tackle. You got Justin McCray, who James Campen didn't have him come here to Carolina, where he's followed him all around the league to not make the team. So he's on the team. Cade Mays, he'll be on the team. And then who's the other one I was thinking of? Chandler Zavala, who they just drafted. Didn't draft in the fourth round to get rid of him. And you have to also understand, too, like Brady Christensen is someone who wants to be a tackle down the road. So what is his future long-term in Carolina? He's entering year three. If he goes through 4 years, really 3 years as a guard, and he still wants to play tackle, there are teams in the league that will probably give him an opportunity to play tackle at some point in time. So maybe he leaves in free agency in a couple seasons, and then Zavala would start at left guard, and then Cade Mays is probably your future at right guard as well. So you got guys who are probably going to be the future in the interior offensive line that are in your backups. Michael Jordan hasn't been a good starter in the NFL, started a bunch of games back in 2021, didn't make a start at all last season. That's why I forgot he was even on the roster. He's clearly someone who's on the roster bubble, probably not going to make the team. Bravion Roy, Marquan McCall. Those are two guys who are going to have to be battling it out to make it with the interior of the offensive line after bringing in Deshaun Williams and also bringing in Shai Tuttle. You already got Derrick Brown. So those guys just lost some reps, and they felt that they needed to bring in some veterans and better players than Truss, Roy, and McCall. So those guys are on the roster bubble. Etor Gosmanos doesn't appear to be a scheme fit. He's doing okay, according to Jero Averro, and incorporating himself into this new scheme, but we can see where that's likely not the best fit for him right now. And Stam Thomas Oliver, he's made the team the last couple of years because of special teams. And they've added corner in Eric Rowe. You've seen where he's kind of stood in the depth chart the last couple of years as far as cornerback goes. He's going to have to make the team again by being a special teams ace. So those are the players I'm looking at right now that are on the roster bubble and could potentially not make the team. But again, plenty of time between now and actual roster cutdowns to evaluate those competitions and guys on the roster bubble and the likely cuts heading into camp. All right, we'll take another quick pause, and I'll come back and answer the rest of your weekly Friday mailbag questions right here on Locked On Panthers. All right, got two more questions, and we'll get out of here on this weekly Friday mailbag edition of Locked On Panthers. Actually, really enjoyed this question from Jake. He said, we know the two biggest needs, but that's in quote, on the roster are wide receiver and edge. If you could add one Panthers legend in his prime to this roster, would it be Smitty or Julius or someone else entirely? If the entire NFL could do that, who would be the Super Bowl favorite? San Francisco with Montana seems like the obvious choice, but there are some other cool options as well. Well, yeah, I mean, if the Niners, who are going to, looks like, start Brock Purdy again this year, coming off of a pretty significant elbow injury. Now, he did not get Tommy John surgery, but he did have whatever the alternative to that was. They're going to rely on him, and it went well last year, but it's also Kyle Shanahan, his scheme, and I don't know what the ceiling really is with Brock Purdy. He got him to the NFC Championship game, I guess, but that's also a really good roster that has been there. That was, what, back-to-back seasons, been there 3 of the last 4 years in the NFC Championship games. I don't think it was all Brock Purdy, all that got them there, but credit to him because that kid went out there and he fought his ass off, and it sucks the way things ended last year for him and the 49ers, especially like Championship Sunday. Why did that have to happen then? So you say Panthers of legends, and if you didn't say Panthers legends, the obvious choice is Reggie White. The Panthers need another edge rusher. Reggie White is second on the all-time NFL sacks list, and he played one season here in Carolina. Kevin Green, I would take him as well. Like, Reggie White would be the obvious one because you want to get a generational pass rusher who no one can stop. Well, Reggie White in his prime is exactly who I would want the Carolina Panthers to have. Now, I believe he played more in like four, but I think you can find a way to incorporate Reggie White into the roster, into the scheme this year in Carolina. So it's the biggest needs are edge and wide receiver. I probably, because I think the defense is going to be really good anyways, would probably go with Steve Smith. Because he gets you that number one wide receiver. Steve Smith's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Julius Peppers going to be in the Hall of Fame. So there's not bad options when you look at Panthers legends. But yeah, Steve Smith, he would be the answer for me to get Smitty out there where he's a leader. Now, I know him and Cam didn't get along. I think him and Bryce Young would get along just fine. At least, I mean, early on. Like, I think Steve and Cam are probably fine now. I just know early on, it was one of those things where it's just like, yo, Steve's fiery personality. And Cam Newton's like, hey, man, like hey, ease up. And Steve certainly never really warmed up to Jimmy Clausen. But why would he? Because Jimmy Clausen was no good. I would take Steve Smith because if you have a top-tier wide receiver, like that's not on the roster right now. They do have a top-tier edge rusher, at least someone who's like knocking on the door of being that. And I think they can make do considering how good this defense should be. I would take Steve Smith for sure when we're looking at Panthers legends. But if you're just talking about any player who ever played here in Carolina, give me Reggie White. All right. Last question comes from Brody, and I kind of discussed this on yesterday's show when evaluating three position groups, one that I felt like is the strongest, which is the offensive line, one I felt like had a chance to make a major leap, which is wide receiver core, which might surprise some of you or a lot of you, and then the last one that needs to prove something is corner. And Brody asked me, are you optimistic about our cornerback depth? Why not bring back Josh Norman for another go-around? I mean, he almost picked off Tom Brady in his only start. I mean, Josh Norman is how old now? Let's Google it. Josh Norman. Age. Google. Search. Josh Norman right now is 35 years old. Why not bring back Josh Norman for another go-around? Because he's 35 years old. What? Well, the only reason Josh Norman was here last year is because Steve Wilks is here. Steve Wilks is no longer here. He's in San Francisco. No one from the good old days is here. So Josh Norman will not be back. It doesn't make any sense for the Panthers. And it was an emergency situation where you lost JC. You had already lost Dante. And you didn't trust the guys that you had in Keith Taylor and CJ Henderson. So why not? You're right there with a chance to go to the playoffs. Bring back Josh Norman. And does Josh Norman want to play a full 17-game season in the NFL? I don't know. It's very easy for him to step away from what he was doing in pseudo-retirement, working at his family's coffee shop as a barista. It's much easier to do that when you're going to only play two games than to come off the street and he's not even there right now and to come into workouts and to get ready to go and then play 17 games. Like, that's just – that's a ton. And I just don't think that would make a lot of sense to bring back Josh Norman. Like, there's maybe other veterans out there, and they brought in Eric Rowe that they could go target still. But a 35-year-old Josh Norman, I don't really see what that accomplishes at all. Now, as far as the cornerback depth, am I optimistic about it? It's hard to be optimistic considering what I've seen. Haven't seen anything from CJ Henderson that I like. I haven't seen much from Keith Taylor that I like. I like the idea of Eric Rowe and having a veteran presence in here to back up J.C. Horn and Dante Jackson, so I do like that. But aside from that, I what do you want me to say? Yes? Because it's hard to say yes based off of the tape, what we've watched the last couple of seasons. My hope is new coaches, new scheme, new results. That's my hope. But hope is not a plan, and I am not totally confident that things will play out to where CJ Henderson, it finally clicks for him. Same thing with Keith Taylor, where expectations are far different. Fifth-round pick, Keith Taylor struggles, like, whatever. That's what happens when you have to throw out a fifth-round pick later on in the season. CJ Henderson, really no excuse for as bad as he's been, considering where he was drafted and really the position he's been put in here in Carolina. So we'll see how it goes. All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, hosted again by yours truly, Julian Council. Subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And be sure again to follow me on Twitter at Julian Council, where I'll be back next Friday to answer your weekly Friday mailbag questions, either at me or DM me to get those questions in. But in the meantime, be safe, be happy, be whole as always. Keep pounding. And I'll talk to y'all on Monday, where Vashti Hurt of Carolina Blitz will be here on the show to break down the Panthers and look ahead to OTAs, which start on Tuesday afternoon.